Welcome to What's New Now. Hey, it's a podcast from X1039. We're a radio station. It's weird if you didn't know that and you're listening to our podcast, but it's fine. I guess I should probably tell you my name is Crowley, and I got to talk to Dickie Barrett from the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. He's got a new band called the Defiant Supergroup Action, man. Their debut album, If We're Really Being Honest, is out now. And as a 90s kid who is a little bit obsessed with the movie Clueless, oh, you know I gotta ask him about that. Dickie Barrett, of course, of the Mighty Mighty Bosstones and now the Defiant. Good to have you here on the radio, because you've done a lot of this side of radio, haven't you?
I actually had a show in Los Angeles about 10 years ago, a morning show. I was working on Kimmel and I had time. Maybe even more than 10 years ago. I did 2 years on a station called Indy 103 and loved doing it.
It's a fun job, isn't it? I talk about that all the time. Like, it's just, you sit down and just chatter, right?
Just sending stuff out into the ether and, you know, who's listening? I don't know who's listening. Maybe somebody's listening. But then taking calls was always great. I always loved doing that. And I got to play whatever I wanted. It wasn't formatted when I played there. When I left there, they were trying to format it.
Yeah.
So that was part of my departure was, I liked playing Glenn Campbell into Black Flag, and no one was going to format a station that way. So
I have always been jealous of those, like, non-format stations that do whatever, whether it's college stations or whatever. Because as much as I love our music, like, you know, once in a while, you want to go crazy.
Yeah, sounds like you guys are playing good stuff.
Oh, thanks, man. That is the Dickie Barrett seal of approval right there. I want everybody to hear that. So we got it, man. Let me ask this. Do you still get residuals from the movie Clueless? Do they pay you for that?
Do you know we got paid more than Alicia Silverstone?
Shut up. Are you serious?
I'm telling you the truth. And you know how I know that? It was a Jeopardy question one time. I'm casually watching Jeopardy. And then it was like, what band? I don't even remember what the category was. Maybe it was 90s movies or something. What, ska band got paid more money than the actress Alicia Silverstone in the movie Clueless? And I was like, oh, that must be us. And I didn't know that was the case. And I knew why we did the movie, which was because we were experiencing tax difficulties due to a manager who didn't pay our taxes.
Oh.
All of a sudden, the government, the IRS was down on us, and we had to come up with some money quickly. And we hadn't even had, you know, the impression that I get, or let's face it, wasn't even out yet. So we were still charting on the college radio charts and happily, you know, making our records, independent records. And so out of nowhere, Amy Heckerling, who made the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High, asked us if we wanted to be in Clueless. And then I was like, okay, what's it about? And then they explained that it was about Beverly Hills, rich Beverly Hills kids. And then I was like, ooh, I'm not so sure I want to be in that. But we did, and everybody seemed to love the movie. And it's probably an iconic movie at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I think, yeah. And my daughters are getting of the age where I'm almost ready to show it to them and say, see how your dad used to be cool.
Used to be. Come on now. I can't tell if, like, being in a movie or being a Jeopardy question is the moment that you feel like you make it in the world, that you've made it and, like, okay, done it now, famous.
I'll tell you what happened one time was that's years ago, and I'm still living in our bass player's mother's. We all kind of had rooms in this house she had in Cambridge, Massachusetts, you know, and struggling as a band and everything. And we're watching late night at David Letterman, the David Letterman show, and all of a sudden they're announcing, which years later I became a late night television announcer.
Yeah.
And they used to do a joke before they said his name. It's like, and now the sausage king of West Colorado.
Yeah.
David Letterman, something that was some non sequitur, something that meant nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm listening, and maybe I had a couple beers in me by myself watching on the TV, and all of a sudden he goes, and now the lead singer of the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, Dave, and it didn't really compute with him. Wait a minute. I'm the lead singer of the Mighty Mighty, David Letterman. And at that point, I was like, oh my gosh, we might be something written into a joke like that.
Right. And you finally know how the Sausage King of West Colorado feels when David Letterman tries to steal his thunder over here.
That one I wrote on the fly.
That's a good one. I like that. So the Defiant, you got to tell me about this because, I mean, we got a super group over here because who do we got here? We've got Pete Parada from The Offspring over here, Greg Camp, Smash Mouth, guitarist Joey LaRocca from The Briggs, Johnny, oh, I'm going to mess up the last name, Rio.
No, Rio.
Rio. Rio. Nice. That was his name and he dances in the sand or whatever. So he's from the Street Dogs. I guess it's one of those obvious questions, but with a super group, how did everybody get together? Were you just all friends and you're like, we should do something someday?
Sort of when you've been doing it, as long as I've been doing it, you cross paths with other people and you say someday we should get together and maybe we should, you know, make some music together. And that never or rarely happens. And then at some point I said, I want to try to, you know, make a record that's separate from the Boston's or different. And, I contacted Greg Camp, who's like the premier songwriter for Smash Mouth, all those monster Smash Mouth hits you heard back in the 90s, and said, hey, do you want to, you know, try to make a record together or try to write some songs together? And started out slowly, but very quickly, it started to, you know, escalate into something that sounded really good to us. And we shared it with Pete, and Pete was like, this is great. I want to be a part of it. And then we added the other guys. And so before long, it took about 2 years to come up with the whole thing and to put out, if we're really being honest, the album we made. But it was a fun process. I enjoyed writing with those guys. I enjoyed making that record. And we'll probably try our hand at it again. But once again, if it doesn't come out good, we're not going to feed garbage into the world. We want the Defiant to be good.
That is, we appreciate that. As a representative of the world, I'll say. Thank you for that. Yeah, lead single, Dead Language over there. I love that it's about everybody being addicted to their phones right now. How often do you feel like you're talking to somebody and you see their eyes glaze over and they start pulling out that phone, like they're not even thinking about it?
Well, not only do I often see that, I might even be one of those people. At times, I might even be. I think more often than not, I'm the member of my family where it's not mommy putting your phone away. It's usually daddy put your phone away. But I do everything on my phone, A to Z. So,
yeah.
You know, so I'm, you know, exactly what we're talking about in that song. I'm guilty as charged.
That's okay? So at least you're not just lobbing accusations at other people and like being morally superior or anything.
No, I'm not. I'm not living off the grid.
Right.
I'm not talking to you right now on a flip phone.
It sucks because it's like, you know, you kind of need your phone and there's more and more things that you can do with your phone. So it becomes this nexus to the entire world and everything.
They got us. They got us right where they want us.
They really do.
What are we going to do? And if they shut it down, I'd walk around in a bathrobe. I don't know. I can't contact anybody. I don't know.
Constantly like doing the bathroom thing of grabbing an air freshener can and reading the back of it, just walking around the house. I need something.
No, the house would go away. I wouldn't be able to pay my bills.
Oh, right.
I'd be roaming the streets. What happened to that guy? Oh, he lost his cell phone.
Yep. It's modern zombie over here. So I know this is like a very obvious interview question over here, and I hesitate to ask about the influences, but I just, looking at your previous interviews and stuff, like, it's a really great list, so I figured I'd at least invite that.
Well, it's the stuff we grew up on. I mean, I remember I was going to high school during that very sweet spot of music, the 70s into the 80s, where Elvis Costello was making his best records. It was, as far as I'm concerned, and records like Joe Jackson's Look Sharp or I'm the Man or The Clash, certainly The Clash,
yes.
The Pogues, Stiff Little Fingers.
Yes.
Yes, that. And they weren't just putting songs out. They were making albums. Those albums were albums with great album covers and you know, songs that kind of connected and lived together and forever lived together. So that's sort of what we were drawing from, you know, in other bands like the Pretenders when they were making records then. That was, you know. And now I sound like old man Barrett. Back in my day.
Well, I do want to ask about that. How do you feel about, like, with the Spotify era and everything and singles kind of becoming the new sort of standard? Do you miss? I mean, I know you guys put a lot of work into, if we're being honest and everything. What, you said 2 years on it and everything. Did you want to craft it like an album and everything and ignore this whole Spotify single situation?
I never kind of stopped doing that. That's way back when I first started, when the Boston's made their first album, Devil's Night Out. It was a collection of songs that were supposed to live together and supposed to be together. And then at that time, that wasn't unheard of. Making albums was making albums. So I didn't like stopping and think, and, you know, technology has changed things in the course of the, you know, Napster, enter whatever. We even like, out goes the CD. We were part of that, you know, or in comes the CD.
Yeah.
we were both incomes and outgoes. but
double taxed on that.
We got it coming and going. But the thing is that's where it came from. That's what I loved. I remember being a kid, and, you know, my father came home and goes, you know, I bought you an album, son. It was like so important to me. Or going to the record store and flipping through Strawberries in Massachusetts. And that was my day. So that's how I like to do it. And whether I'm the only one doing it or not is fine with me. But that's my mindset. And yeah. And the Defiant all signed on, and we all agreed that that's what we were going to do.
I appreciate that. Just as somebody that loves the full album and everything and just wants to spend time with a band, if you like them. Like, I see you guys are starting out on a tour here. You're going to be in Chicago, right? Coming up in April here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Nice.
You're going to yell at me about Colorado?
Yes, here? Yes. Why don't I see a Colorado date here? We got legal weed and everything. I'm sure a lot of your states are going to have legal weed.
I've been spending the last two summers in Golden, Colorado.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we do about a month there, and we plan on doing it again this summer.
I'm going to stop by your house and ask you to swim in your pool and everything. So
you're about an hour away from Golden, Colorado, right?
I think so, yeah. Maybe a little bit longer if on a bad day of traffic. So, hot damn, how do you like Golden?
I think it's so cool.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I enjoy Colorado. You can't, you know, it's breathtaking.
Then I know that you want to get back out here. So I'm gonna literally hold my breath for a Colorado date here. So if you don't want me to die, let's get this scheduled. So
okay, I promise I will. And the Boston's always treated Colorado really good.
Yeah, hell yeah. So you gotta make sure Colorado knows the Defiant over here. We're ready for you. We feel a little defiant these days, I think. So
thanks so much.
Dickie, thank you so much. Everybody check out the Defiant's new album, if we're being honest. New first single anyway, Dead Language, but there's a few singles out by now. And here's crossing our fingers for a Colorado date. So, Dickie, thank you so much, and you have a killer day, man.
You too, dude. Thank you so much for talking to me. You're great.
Hey, you're great. Thanks, man.
Bye, buddy.
He's a fun dude. Let me tell you something, too. It was only just at this interview and hearing his accent that I realized where the Boston's name came from, because I don't know if you could tell that he's from Boston. Well, hey, thanks for listening. If you want to do us an extra solid, you could subscribe to this podcast, like it when you see it on social media. What are all the damn things I'm supposed to say here? You could talk about us with your friends. Whenever we need dog sitters, you could let us know that. Yeah, if anybody wants to give me a way above market price for all my used Eclipse glasses, that'd be great. But otherwise, hey, thanks for tuning in to X1039's What's New Now.